All right, everybody, welcome on back here. Let's go ahead and get started with the singing. There you go. If we can get a sound check, Brother Manuel. Amen. All right, guys, let's go ahead and turn our hymns to page 157. 157. Want to welcome everybody on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Welcome on back here, and we're going to go ahead and sing a hymn now unto the Lord. Jesus paid it all. If you're online, feel free to Google search on your smartphone. You know you can do that. Let's go ahead and do this together. Jesus paid it all. 157. Amen. 157. One, five, seven, amen. All right, guys, 157. And for those of you guys that are online, we do apologize. The electric pickup in my guitar is not functioning properly, but you can kind of hear it, amen. All right, let's go ahead and focus, friends. Let's please not eat right now. We're going to sing together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. Can change the leper spots and melt this heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I.
I'm by thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had lost its
crimson stain,
he washed it white as snow.
On the fourth.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn our hymns to page 157. 160. Page 160, turn your eyes upon Jesus. All right, 160, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you can search on your smartphone and join us here as we sing this hymn, to turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for love. look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
On the two.
Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
On the last.
His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Page 161, Softly and Tenderly. We're going to have a special now by Sister Katie. Give it up for Sister Katie.
Everybody there? 161? Page 161.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death beds are coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Last one.
Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised, promise for you and for me, that we shall witness his mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Amen.
All right, it's going to greet the vendor in love. If you don't mind shaking a hand or elbowing, and if not, we'll get straight into announcements.
All right, thank God. We want to thank all of you for coming on in, and thank you for watching online. We're going to have announcements by Brother Kwame.
Amen. Well, welcome. Welcome. Thank all for y'all who came and who are tuning in online with us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. My name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q. It's a lot easier if you like. I'm going to go ahead and give some quick announcements real quick. Just like usual, nothing's really changed too dramatically. So I'm going to go ahead and that calendar tab real quick since things are starting to open back up, just so you can stay tuned with us. Hopefully some of the guys and gals who witnessed to Saturday are listening right now, but this is just our calendar tab right here, and it shows us shows you what we have going on, future, past, and current events that you can go ahead and keep updated with us here at Simple Faith Baptist. All right, and moving right along, let's go to I went ahead and for our beliefs, very important, we're Bible believers, we're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But one thing I did update on my tab here, this is our church team tab, just so for y'all who want to reach me out there, I know I talked to a few people Saturday, and I let them know that they can click my name up here and get my information for any prayer or anything like that. So please utilize that. I just updated that real quick for y'all. If you want to reach me, please feel free to do so. For this prayer tab right here, very important. We need to keep each other in prayer. We need to keep those who are in authority in prayer. And if you do need prayer and you want us as a church to keep you in prayer, please utilize this tab here so you can go ahead and put that prayer request in there and we can keep you in prayer as a church. Again, every prayer request is public, but if you don't want it public, put that inside the request and we'll make sure it's not public, but we'll know and be able to keep you in prayer. All right. So moving right along, current and future ministries. A lot of this information, fine details are on the homepage. So Saturdays, we like to go soul winning. We go around like 3:30, and we go out to the Oceanside area. We go to the pier, and we stand up and witness for Jesus Christ. It's an awesome experience. It's very important because those are souls who need to hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? We need to preach Jesus out there, and the hope is that even if one soul was saved, heaven rejoices. So I just want to say I encourage y'all to join us on Saturdays for that. If you're not preaching with us as a church, which we would like, obviously, just to be together. But I hopefully you are witnessing to others on a daily basis, all right? Wednesday nights at 7, we have our Wednesday night Bible study. One Wednesday out of that month, we go ahead and we have a prayer and worship where we come together and worship the Lord together and pray together as a church. So please stay tuned or come join us for that. That ministry won't be live that one Wednesday out of the month. And but other than that, you can tune in every other Wednesday, okay? And then to go ahead to the homepage real quick, just to show you those fine details so you get these times that we have for ministry here. Sunday school, 1 p.m., 30-minute class. I know that we did something a little bit different this Sunday morning. I wasn't here for the Sunday school portion, but from what I'm hearing from my brothers, it was a solid message. So every Sunday at 1, we're having a 30-minute class. Take a 15-minute break. 1:45, we worship God in spirit and truth and get straight into the Word of God. All right? And again, there's that Wednesday time, as I said, at 7. And again, that Saturdays are 3 to 3:30 p.m. But you can, again, you can contact us here at this number here, or you can contact me and my personal number here if you want to come soul winning with us. That'd be a blessing, all right? Let's go ahead and go to our platforms. Our platforms we are live streaming on are Facebook Live, YouTube, Periscope, and podcast. Again, I remind y'all, podcast is pretty unique because of the fact that you don't have to worry about looking at a video. Maybe if you're on a long trip or something like that, hopefully we can be a blessing to you if you tune in there. All right. This Bible study tab here is pretty awesome because you have a lot of brothers who've been doing this a lot longer than we have, a lot of different ministries, Bible history, Bible teaching, expository teaching. These brothers are solid. A lot of these brothers we've personally met and we studied out. And so please utilize that so you can add more knowledge to your faith. Amen. All right. And then lastly is online giving. Again, we would love to have you here so we can be a blessing to you in the flesh. But again, at the same time, you know, when it comes to finances, those help too. All finances go to the church building, t-shirts, flyers, things like that. But one of the most important things besides all of that is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you purpose in your heart unto the Lord, we're just one of the many, many ministries that are being used by God. So again, whatever you purpose in your heart to the Lord, you can utilize that online tab there. And it's just a PayPal. I'll just show you real quick if you don't if you didn't get to see that. You just follow the instructions here, proceed to payment, and then you can go ahead and be a blessing to us if that's what you want to do. But other than that, I welcome on my brother Carlos, and hopefully y'all came for the word of God. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. Let's go ahead and get focus up here at church. Friends, we are here at church. Let's not get distracted. And hopefully you guys came here to hear the Bible today, as much as that's what I'd like to deliver unto you. And hopefully you're ready. Let's continue where we left off here in our study of God's Word. Romans chapter number 9. And we're going to pick up here in verse number 5. Now, for those of you guys who have been with us, we've been going through the book of Romans chapter 9, verse by verse. If you are just tuning in for the first time, either on Facebook Church or YouTube, please visit our past video broadcast that you can visit either on the archive of the church page or on the YouTube past teachings. But we are here in Romans chapter 9, very amazing portions of the Word of God here. Generally speaking, Romans chapter 9 all the way through 11 is dealing with the nation of Israel. For those of you guys who know, Romans is being written to Christians. Those are people that are no longer Jews identified in the flesh, no longer Christians, or I'm sorry, Gentiles identified in the flesh. We are identified as an entirely new people group called the church. And I'll show you that from the Bible later on today. So here we have Paul the Apostle, who was and is in the flesh a Jew, who has a heart for his people, the people of Israel, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. And here we see his heart as it pertains to God reaching out to them. He's going to go back in time and give us some experiences that God has in dealing with the people of Israel, their hardened hearts, etc., etc., and how that all has to pertain to how he's going to deal with them in the future, what we call the Great Tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. But the good news is, if you're a Christian here today, you no longer have wrath against your soul from God. You have obtained salvation. You have obtained mercy. And now you have peace from God through your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Paul's heart, and he's just letting us know here who they are, the Israelites. Let's go up to, as a matter of fact, let's just go back to verse number 1, just to gain a little bit of context. He says here, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ and my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites. So his physical people group of which he was born into are the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews. And it is unto these Israelites that pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. We already talked about that in our Sunday school hours, in our Sunday services, so please tune in from our last couple of Sunday broadcasts. Verse number 5, so from the Jews, okay, all those things given to the Jews, Christ came, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, was manifest in the flesh through the Jew, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So that just puts to quiet lips all of these radical peoples who want to be of a superior type stance because of their shade of skin tone and say, oh, it's all about, you know, white supremacy, et cetera, et cetera. And they hold a Bible in their hand, and yet they hate the Jews. They're totally contradicting themselves because they don't know Bible. They're probably not saved. So we're going to continue to read the Bible and trust it. Verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. God, we thank you. Pray that you help us to remove distractions from us today, coming to church, Lord, be it family, friends, and even each other, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help us to focus on the Bible here today. Pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to have eyes to see today, Lord God, and ears to hear wonderful things out of thy word. And I just pray ultimately, God, that your Bible would convince people to live for Jesus, not a religion, not a church, not a denomination, God, but what saith the scriptures, what saith the word of God. That's what I hope today will prick the hearts of many that are listening online and in-house today, that we would attend our ears and attend our minds to study the word of God so we can show ourselves approved unto you, Lord God. We thank you for this time. Now thank you for those that are here, those that are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 9, let's go back to verse number 6. The Bible says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Go back with me to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Bible says in verse number 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them, notice specifically the Jew, were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? The Jew, what if some of them did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. So what was the advantage that the Hebrew had over the Gentile that made them superior as a living people group on the earth? Was it their culture? No. Was it their agricultural possessions? No. Was it their mighty armies and possessions of wealth? No. Because as a matter of fact, when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, here's what God said in regards to the state of this little people group called the Hebrews. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. How about that? God said to the Jew, I did not choose you as a people through whom I would reveal myself because of your good looks, your culture, your standards of living, your military might. But because as he viewed the world, he said, you are the fewest of all people. He chose them simply by the prerogative of his own love, not for any other reason. Verse number 8 says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Notice what the Bible said there in verse number 8. But because the Lord loved you. And then notice, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn. Notice that the Holy Ghost says that God is faithful to his word. Whatever and however he's declared a decree, it is true that God will bring it to pass. Verse number 9, look at what it says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So when you consider our base text here today, Romans chapter number 9, and then go back to Romans 3, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Why? Because God is faithful, the scripture stated there in Deuteronomy 7. And he said there in Deuteronomy 7, but because the Lord loved you, and that he would keep the oath which he had sworn. So when God told Abraham he would give him these promises, the land, an inheritance, an offspring that surpasses the number of stars in the sky, God was going to do it. But although Abraham was a liar, although he was a doubter, although Isaac and Jacob and eventually the tribes would all fail at some point God's word, and although Moses would doubt God and rebel against him in the wilderness travels, and although Joshua would disobey God and various men and kings, that Bible says that God is faithful to what he said he would do. So the word of God is not going to be affected by the faithlessness or faithfulness of the Jew. Go back there to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. What does it say again? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the, watch this, notice their Bible text here, the faith of God without effect? You see, we're talking about God's side of the bargain here, God's side of the relationship here that he has with Israel, and for that matter, for the whole world, his whole creation. If God said he would do something, he's going to do it, irregardless of your response, either in obedience or disobedience. However, specifically with these people, though, the Jews, he did give them what the Bible calls carnal ordinances. That is, these laws that would govern their flesh. And upon them were placed conditional, I guess you could just say conditional parameters upon which if they would obey, God would do this. If they disobey, God would do that as a response to their heart and their faithfulness to his word. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But a couple of verses just to spark your heart's interest in how God's word is faithful. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go through these quickly. Psalm 119 in regards to God's faithfulness. Psalm 119. The Bible tells us in verse number 138. Psalm 119, verse 138. All the way down here with our Bible software. Bible says here, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Look at what the psalmist says. The word of God is very faithful. You can trust it. He's not going to lie, and he's not going to repent what he said he'd do. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look at what the Bible text states here in verse number 24. The Bible says here, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. How about that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Like I said, we're going to go to this quickly. Look up to the screen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll read here in verse number 3. The Bible says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Throughout the Bible, there are multitudes of texts of Scripture that teach us and tell us that God is faithful, even though you're not. God will not lie, even though you will lie. God is pure, even though you're not pure. God is holy, even though you and I are wicked and filled with evil and vain imaginations. That's why I love the God of this Bible, because if I simply put my faith and trust in his faithfulness, he then, on his part, will carry out what he said he'd do if I simply do my part, which is simply exercise faith, because I can't offer God any works. I can't offer him the best I have, because at my best state, you know what that Bible says? I'm a vain man. Let me just quickly search that verse. It just came to mind. How about that? Let's just quickly search this verse. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'll show you this real quick. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes, and look at what the Bible text states here. I believe it's in chapter number in Ecclesiastes. Oh, no, it's actually in Psalms. Wow, Psalm 39. How about that? Psalm 39, verse number 5. Look at what the Bible says here, and let me get rid of these other tabs here. Psalm 39, verse number 5. Bible says here, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." You can't be good enough. You can't be faithful enough. You can't be true enough to God and His standards. That's why you and I fall short of God's glory literally every day. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. But God will never fail the standard that He set in regards to His word that He set forth. In context, we're talking about the Hebrew, but we're going to put that into practice and practical application in other areas as we move on. Turn your Bible with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. I want to show you something about God's word. Isaiah chapter 55. Many of you guys have heard this. You may have seen it on a t-shirt before, or some type of Christian, quote-unquote, paraphernalia that people want to make money off of. You know, the Bible. Isaiah chapter 55, and look at what verse number 8 says. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," what does that Bible say? "So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the snow, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." How about that? Now, I'm not going to get into the debate of today's charismatic fellow believers, my fellow Pentecostal folks and everybody on this side of the Christian camp that want to utilize this verse and take it out of context and, you know, "His word will not return void," and then they, you know, declare things and so on and so forth. That's not what God is saying here through Isaiah the prophet. He's talking about judgment. But I'm just trying to put that into this sermon to remind you that the faith of God will not be made of none effect by the faithlessness of the Hebrew. God's word is going to accomplish the purpose that He has sent it as soon as He decrees it. Romans 3:2 says, "The advantage the Jew had is that God revealed unto them no other people group." Notice the Bible text, His oracles. What are oracles? Oracles are the communications or revelations or messages delivered by God to prophets and so on and so forth. Turn your Bible with me to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. I'm going a little quicker than usual because I want to get you as much scripture as I can today, because today is really important in understanding this portion of the book of Romans, chapter number 9 and 6 through 8. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 78, starting in verse number 5, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." What a blessing. The psalmist is saying here that God appointed a law in Israel. He appointed His statutes in Israel. Unto them were given the oracles of God. Notice the Bible doesn't say in Mexico, the United States of America, Europe, Africa, Russia, China. It says right there in Israel, God made known who He was, everything that He expects of a man and how to live, given to the Jew. That's the advantage that they had over you and I as a Gentile. And it was by these oracles and these revelations and these commandments that He kept them accountable by. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and I'll read you these two verses. Deuteronomy 27 and then Galatians chapter number 3. This is the verse that Paul the Apostle quotes in the New Testament to these Judaizers, that is, these folks that were trying to creep into the church there in Galatia, that were trying to make Christians be like the Jew, you know, circumcision and Sabbath keeping and all this silliness, because they are in Christ. They're a new creature. There's no longer Jew. There's no longer Greek, no longer Gentile, no longer male nor female in Christ. You're a whole new person. Christ is the end of law to them that believe. Here's what the Lord, though, told the Jew if they fail to honor his word. Cursed be he, verse 26 of Deuteronomy chapter 27, that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Notice the word all. Out of the Ten Commandments, if that Jew failed to do one out of the ten, you know what that Bible says? He's cursed. 5 out of 10, he couldn't keep the other 5, he's cursed. 9 out of 10, you know, you did your very best. You know what God said? You broke one, you broke all in my sight. That's why it is literally impossible for anybody throughout time to have been justified by their works or their best to try to keep God's laws. They couldn't do it. They'd have the curse. Galatians 3, look at what I said earlier. Paul the Apostle would use that same verse to tell these Christians about this. Folks trying to creep in, tell them to act like Jews under that Old Testament law. Look at what the Bible says here. If we go to verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, etc., etc. So you see, regardless of how you and I approach God, be it in the Old Testament times prior to the life of Jesus or thereafter, God is desirous of the heart of his people to be found in love with him. God always has and always will be seeking the heart of man to see if there is sincerity or not. By this observation, God will know if you are truly one of his followers or not. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Look at what the Lord says. This is one of these verses that are quite debated, but if you leave the Bible alone, it won't be if you study it. Romans chapter 9, verse number... Oh, I'm sorry, 6 here. Yep, Romans 9 and verse number 6. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So in other words, just because they were born a Jew, just because they were born in the right lineage, in the right land, from the right people, in God's eyes does not justify them and their soul account. They cannot boast upon their culture, they cannot boast upon their people group, and say, well, because I'm a Jew, you know, I'm Abraham's seed, I must be in a right standing with God based upon that only. We're going to see clearly from time and time again that God is looking to that heart. And if he did not believe in God's word by faith, he was not counted as a true Israelite. And likewise today, if people claim mentally that they believe in God, but inwardly in their heart they truly haven't asked Jesus to save them, they are literally going to go to hell trying to be the best Christian they can be outwardly or being a good person, because inwardly the Lord knows their heart. It's far from him, and I'll show you. This is why the Holy Ghost would say that although a person is born into the people group of Israel, their birth alone does not automatically merit the justification, be it by their works or anything like this. For God bore record multiple times in the Bible, and I just quoted one of them, Romans 3:28, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:11, that no flesh is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God. You see, God always looked to the heart of the recipient of his word to see if they would trust him by faith, and it would be those who would believe by faith that he would declare just. You might say, but Brother Carlos, that's New Testament. How about the Old Testament? Can you prove it? I can. Two places, Genesis 15 and Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 15 and Habakkuk chapter number 2. Genesis 15 and Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says in regards to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. I don't want to keep regurgitating the history of Abraham, but remember, he was a Gentile. He was called out of the land of Ur, the Chaldees. God said, follow me, I'm going to show you this land. And he believed God's word as a Gentile. And he received God's thumbs up of calling him righteous before any dispensation of the Mosaic law, before any laws were given on Mount Sinai, And the sign of circumcision that would make the Jew a Jew outwardly in the flesh came after God declared him righteous. Look at verse number 6. And he believed on the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You see, faith alone is what's going to declare you righteous before God. That's all that God desires for you to do, is exercise faith in his word. Because it's only when you and I trust God from our heart that then we would be willing and motivated to do what he calls us to do. You know, like obedience. Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says there in Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse number 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his works. Is that what it says in your King James Bible? No. What does it say? By his what, church? Faith. You know, maybe God's right. Maybe the Bible's right. Maybe traditions of men and their schools of thought are wrong when they approach the Bible by trying to teach works here, faith there, works later. No. Faith always has been, always will be. Because again, if you broke one of God's laws, you broke all, you had the curse. That's why it was only by faith that he would merit his righteousness upon the account. And so now that's the direction that we're going to move forward for understanding Romans. When the Holy Ghost is saying, even though they're a Hebrew in the flesh, even though they're an Israelite in the flesh, they're not all truly, because in their heart they don't have faith in God and his word. Therefore, God will treat them like an unbeliever because there is no real sincere relationship. And we'll see that in a few. So Abraham received the righteousness from God by faith. This righteousness of God has always been offered and received by those who would respond in faith. So now with this in mind, let's consider the text backed in Romans 9, 6 through 8. In context, God is identifying those Hebrews who were just in his sight by faith from those who weren't because of unbelief. This matter of the heart has always been the issue. This is where it's going to get crazy, church. So let's go ahead and strap on our seatbelts and get on going. Numbers chapter 15. We got a lot of scripture to go through today to show you today that it's a matter of the heart. Always has been, always will be. Numbers chapter 15. And we're going to start down here in verses 38 through 40. Numbers 15, verses 38 through 40. And if anybody gets a little tired or gets a little hot, feel free to turn on that AC to wake you guys up. Come on, church. We're here at church. Let's focus. Numbers chapter 15, we're going to start in verse number 38. Here's what that Bible says. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. How about that, church? Did you hear what the Lord told that Jew? He wants them to dress with a specific attire, with a specific color, and he commands this to no other people group but the Israelites. At my former church, when I used to go to Calvary Chapel Oceanside, we had a young adults group, and there was this Mexicano fellow there that was getting caught up in Judaism and all this silliness, trying to be a law abider, and he was starting to come to that young adults group with little blue fringes on his borders, you know, trying to be a Jew. Man, that fool had no idea what he was doing. You know what the Lord told that Jew? I want you to dress like that. I want you to put this color blue on your garments, because when you look to that, it's going to remind you of my word, so that why? That you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. That's kind of harsh. Why? Because God is looking to their heart. You know what the Lord said about that Hebrew? In their heart, they desire to go a-whoring after what? The gods of Egypt. You could read about that in the book of Joshua. Application, church today, you call yourself a Christian? You say you're a sister? The Lord gave you the Bible. He tells you to study it, 2 Timothy 2:15. Hope you have a King James Bible. If you don't, you best get one. He tells you to meditate upon that thing day and night, Psalms chapter number 1. He tells you to meditate upon things above, Colossians chapter 3. Why? because your heart is going to desire everything else that this world offers you. Your heart one time used to trust in dumb idols. Your heart one time used to desire drugs and alcohol and sex and fornication and marijuana, etc., etc. The Lord said, you better remind yourself of my words, because I don't want your heart to go a-whoring and a backslide and to start trusting in everything else. Church, be mindful of that verse. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, so don't worry now, church. You guys can catch up now with Brother Carlos. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's go down to verse number 29. What are we talking about right now? We're just talking about how God is looking to the heart of that Jew, and when he calls them out by saying, hey, you're not my people, he can definitely say that because he's looking to their heart. Bible says in Deuteronomy 5, verse number 29, the Lord says here through Moses, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You see, the Lord desired for them to have a heart for him. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Verse number 2. Look at what the Bible says. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. How about that, church? You know what the Lord said? All those temptations, all those trials, all those things the Lord brought them through is to see if they would actually want to worship him willfully from their heart. I wonder today, Christian, if you're listening to me, if the Lord allows certain trials to come into your life to see if you are sincere about your faith in him and his word, to see if you're truly going to be faithful in your church attendance, faithful in your giving, faithful in the winning of souls, like the Lord said. Maybe he's trying to prove you to see where your heart is at. That's what the scriptures state. I think we can take that into an application. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's keep going. Verse number 16. Look at how the Lord is dealing with their heart. He wants to see where their heart's at. Deuteronomy chapter 10, go down to verse number 16. The Bible says here, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. How about that? You're going to see that New Testament phraseology all over the place in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 11, just a chapter to the right. Like I said, we're going to be in this book, so don't worry. Same book, just different chapters. Deuteronomy 11, go down to verse number 16. Bible says here, take heed to yourselves. Oh, man, this is really good. Are you ready now? That your heart be not deceived. How about that, church? Can't get any clearer than that. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my what? Words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that ye may be as frontlets between your eyes. What did God desire from his people? His heart. He wanted their hearts to be in love with him, his words to guard them and to protect them from the one thing that will take them away from him. Notice, it wasn't the riches. Notice, church, it wasn't the materials. Notice that it wasn't the Gentiles. It was their heart. In their heart, when they desire to be like the world more than they desire to be in obedience to God's word, the Lord said, you're going to turn aside. But remember what I said. He deals with the Jews' physical, carnal commandments. He's going to deal with them conditionally. And so that's why God, when you read that Old Testament, he'll say, I'm not going to let that rain come down. I'm not going to let your agriculture, you know, prosper. That's how the Lord will deal with them. We'll talk about you and I as a Christian later, but let's keep reading here. Deuteronomy 29. Go down here to verse number 18, Deuteronomy 29. Bible's good, amen? Hope you guys like it. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 18. Here's what the Bible says. Lest, and Deuteronomy 29 verse 18, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. It came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, and so on and so forth. What did your Savior teach in the Gospels? You remember what he taught about that parable of the sower and the seed?
Oh, yeah.
Remember what he said about the seed going into the soil? And there was one particular type of soil that they had no root in themselves. Bible with Bible, spiritual thing with spiritual thing, scripture with scripture. You know what the Lord says and how he defines that? Your heart. If you don't have root in yourself, it's because your heart is not desiring to grow in obedience to the word of God when it's revealed to you. That's what he said. Look at what he said there. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. How's that going to happen? When their heart desire to turn from God and to go worship the gods of the Gentile nations. So far, it seems to me, church, that God desires for the people to have a heart for him. Chapter 30, just one chapter to the right, same book, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, just same book, chapter right, just one chapter to the right. Bible says in verse number 1, shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee. Again, he's talking to the Israelites. The blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, where the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn the captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. You know what the Lord said? When he's judged them for their faithlessness and their disobedience, the rebellion, and they're scattered among the nations, you know, like Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, Persian captivity, you know, Roman control. You know what God promised that Jew? That if they would come back to him first and foremost within their heart. Look at what that says in verse 2. With all your heart, all your soul, the Lord will do his part. Verse number 4. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possess, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Isn't that an awesome promise of the Jew? If they were to repent of their sin and trust God's word by faith and be willing to do what he said, you know what the Lord said? He would circumcise their heart. He would give them the strength to carry out what it is they desire to do in line with the law that God gave them. You know what the Christian is told by the Holy Ghost in Galatians 5? There is a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And these are the contrary one to the other, so that you will not do the things you would. If you walk in the spirit, what does that Bible say? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what happens when your heart is desiring to do that which is right in God's sight? He will circumcise your heart. He'll give you the strength to say no to that sin. But in your heart, when you want that sin more than God, you can't fool God. He's going to give you over to the desires of your heart. That's Romans chapter 1. You see, you can't fool God, church. We can only fool each other on the outside. Outside, you look like a good fellow, but the Lord, man, inside is ravening wolves. You know that thing when the Lord was rebuking them Pharisees. So far, church, it seems to me that God wants his people, that is the Hebrews, to have a heart that honors him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Before we close, now let's consider the words of Jesus, you know, because what did Jesus teach? I want to go off Jesus' words, a lot of folks say to me nowadays. What about our Savior? Did he expect the same thing from the Israelites of his day and future believers that would come to him through faith in the apostles' doctrine? How would he identify them as a part of his or not? Let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 13, and then we would go to Matthew 15. So Matthew 13 and then Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read none other than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ of this Holy Bible, God manifests in the flesh. Matthew chapter 13, give you a little context, starting in verse number 1 through 3. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, so now you know what he's doing. Go down to verse number 10. Disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? So there's a difference. You have the disciples that are close to him, and then you have the multitudes that are far from him. You get it? He answered and said unto them, the disciples, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15, you ready, church? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, not God. Look at what it says. They have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Sounds like to me the Lord expected the same thing. He wanted their hearts to love God with all their strength, all their might. But because they were so rebellious and stiff-necked, like Moses told them a long time ago, they failed time and time after again to establish their own righteousness that we'll see later on in Romans 10 by the works of the law. Inwardly, they were wicked. They were far from him. You know, that Bible said gross. That word gross just simply means thick, bulky, rude, and rough, stupid, dull. They had an opportunity to believe, Isaiah said, but they didn't. They didn't want to. They literally just covered their eyes. We don't want to know the truth, God. We're satisfied with our religious. We're satisfied with our outward, but not the inward. Go to Matthew 15. Two chapters to the right. Matthew chapter 15. Read from verse number 1. The Bible says here, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, he's talking to these Pharisees, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, the very fact that Jesus Christ knew and could perceive the secret thoughts of man proves that he wasn't just any ordinary man, but that he was God. You see, Jesus expected the same thing from the Jew that he gave Moses on that mount in Mount Sinai from the law and progressively through their prophets. Worship me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Worship me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Worship me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, because if you don't, I'm going to judge you. If you don't, I'm going to cut you off this line. If you don't, I'm going to bring upon you all these curses. And that's exactly what he brought up. Notice what the Lord, how he would deal with the Jew. He would bring up the oracles. He would quote the scriptures. He would tell them, this is what we said. This is what I said. This is what God said to this prophet. And it's true. He desired their heart, but they didn't desire him from their heart. And now, again, application today for people thinking that they're believers online, you know, religious, because outwardly they go to a church, you know, outwardly they may, you know, express or exhibit some type of religious, you know, obeisance. The Lord knows your heart. He knows if you're just doing him lip service. He knows if you're just doing him mouth service outwardly, because your heart truly, really doesn't even want anything to do with him. That's why, you know what that Bible tells you as a Christian? You got to examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith, lest ye believed in vain, lest ye be reprobate. You got to examine yourself. This is why God is able to identify those whose hearts were truly for him and those who were against him. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 and then Ephesians chapter 2. Romans 2, Ephesians 2. Go down here to verse number 18. Oh, we can read from verse 17. This is why Romans 2 is there now, and we can cross-reference the spiritual material that we're learning from Romans 9 when Paul uses these words in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, the light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Go down here to verse number 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise not of men but of God. We just saw what God said there in Deuteronomy. We saw that if that Hebrew would sincerely seek him out by faith, God would circumcise his heart and give him the desire to do what the Lord told him to do. But if they didn't, and they played lip service, and they were hypocrites like Isaiah prophesied and all these other prophets, man, they were worshiping him in vain, the Bible says. And that's what religion does. Religion offers mankind works of service outwardly to look like you're good in the sight of God. But inwardly, if that Bible is not being taught truthfully and giving people the truth for their heart to be taken care of, sin being taken care of out of their lives, they're worshiping God in vain, point blank. Ephesians 2, I said that right? Ephesians 2. Does anybody love the Bible? Bible's still good, amen? Come on, got a little quiet. Come on. Ephesians 2, verse number 18. In regards to the natural man, in regards to the law, you know, the giving over the ordinances to the Jew. Here's what that Bible says. We're going to read here in verse number. Let's see here. I think I wrote down this verse not accurately, but nevertheless, now that we are here, let's go down here to verse number. Let's go to verse number 14. For he is our peace, talking about Jesus, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Paul is talking about the Jew and the Gentile. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You know what? That Bible says that there was a division between God and men. When that law was given to the Jew, that separated men from men. So the first separation you have between God and men is sin. Sin separates you from your God. That's what Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Isaiah prophesied, your sin has separated between you and your God. And then you have the second separation amongst men, that is mankind. The law separates the Jew from the Gentile. You know, whether you're Mexican or African or Chinese or whatever Atkins or Enes you want to be, you're not a Jew if you're not in that law, I'm sorry, under the law in this land with that people group, because they had the laws, you didn't. So then Jesus Christ comes, he proclaims to be God, he proclaims to be the Messiah awaiting that the people of Israel awaited all this time, and he says, believe in me, you'll be saved from your sin, you'll be justified. He begins something called the church that he is going to make of that Jew that was separated from that Gentile, he's going to make him one new man, one new creature, and in Christ there is nothing no more that segregates Jew and Gentile. But ultimately, there's nothing no more that separates between God and man in Christ. Only Jesus Christ is the mediator between you and God. You can't come to God throughout any other religious means. Now, I don't have enough time to get to these other verses I'd like to get to. We'll pick it up next week. But before we close, I'll get to this one verse and then we'll talk more about it. John chapter number 8. I know this is the famous portion that we're going to get to at some point. I might as well tackle a little bit today and then we'll pick up next Sunday. But look at her. John 8, you got to get there now, church. It's really important. This is how the Lord can say things like this when he would teach. John chapter number 8, verse number 20. Let's start in verse number 20. The Bible says here, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid his hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. This is what the Lord said. Ye are from beneath. He's talking to the Jew, by the way. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. More than three times the Lord said, friend, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe in me. Come on, church, listen up now. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say in the judge of you. He's talking to the Jews. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And that, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So now you have the rebuttal. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Notice that principle, if ye continue in my word. Go back to that Old Testament. Look at all those verses we quoted, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc., etc. God told that Jew, if you follow me from your heart, if you seek me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you will find me. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a desire and an ability to do what I'm asking you to do. The Lord, the same thing. If you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now look at what they said. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. That's what Paul's talking about, Romans 9. And we're never in bondage to any man. Hypocrites, they're in bondage to Rome at the time. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He didn't say, whosoever is not born a Jew, whosoever is not born a Gentile, whosoever is not born with darker shade of skin, lighter shade of skin, whosoever, no. He said, if you committed sin, boom, immediately you became a servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Why? Because they had no root in themselves when that word was planted by the Father when they were growing up in the land of Israel by their local priests, their local Pharisee, you know, that doctor of the law, teaching them about God. Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Remember his commandments. Remember what he did. They had no root. These fools did not love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's why he says, my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. He's talking to descendants of Abraham in the flesh. He's talking to Jews. But now he makes a whole new teaching that he brings onto the scene. I'm from my father, you're from your father. I am not of this world, you are of this world. And then he's going to introduce them about Satan because he's the father of sin. God is not the father of sin. Calvinism is false and evil. 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. How about that? You know what my family tells in Mexico? hermano, brother, we believe in God. We believe in God. But they get drunk, you know, drunkards. They fornicate. They're lesbian sodomites over there. They do everything wicked and reprobate. If you truly believed in God, you would love Jesus and you would do what Jesus said to do. That's just a side nugget. Keep going. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Man, their heart has already become dull. What did Isaiah said? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, not God, and abode not in the truth, not God. Because there is no truth in him, there is truth in God. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. How about that? What did Paul say in Romans 9? They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Just because they are a child in the flesh of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in God's eyes, it's not a matter of the outward, but it's a matter of the inward, circumcision of the heart. So when the book of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the writer of Hebrews would then give us all these declarations in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Samson, Jephthah, Barak, etc., etc. All these people were justified by faith. They were accounted righteous by God's grace through faith. These Jews, which believed not, whose hearts were hardened, who God judged throughout time, they became an example for you and I as a Christian. Now, next week, we'll pick up in 1 Corinthians 10 to talk about when God judged them. But what does that tell you and I today? Just because you say your uncle's a preacher, like the fellow told me out there yesterday, it's Saturday at soul winning. My uncle's a preacher, I must be good. My family, they're all Christian. You know, I grew up in a Christian household, you know, I must be good. Look, fool, it doesn't matter if your best friend's a Christian, your girlfriend's a Christian, your boyfriend's a Christian, whoever else outwardly, the question is you, in your heart, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Do you believe that he died for your sins on that cross? Do you believe that he was buried and rose again the third day? And do you believe that one day you're going to have to stand before God and give an account because he's going to judge you by what you believed? You know what the Lord said? If you are of God, you're going to obey and abide by his words through faith. But if you're not of God, the only alternative is this. Your God is Satan. That's what Jesus said. Your father, the devil. You like lying, you like rebelling, you like stealing, you like sinning. It's because you're being inspired by your father, the father of this world, Satan, Lucifer. People don't want to hear that truth because they're in darkness. We are trying to bring them the truth as Christians because we're already in the light. But shame on us as Christians if we are filled with light. Want to go back to a little bit of darkness. I'm not going to preach on that. Nevertheless, we'll pick up next Sunday, Lord willing, by faith, in the book of Romans. Study the Lord. Bless you.